The United States and North Korea have been improving their relations. CIA Director Leon Panetta went so far as to call it a honeymoon situation. Of course, there's still a question about the future, how to restrain the North's nuclear program. That was punctuated by the North's recent test firing of 5 missiles. And there's disagreement about the past as well. In North Korea, you see a vastly different interpretation of what Americans call the Korean War in the 1950s. NPR's Louisa Lim has just returned from a rare reporting trip to North Korea.
We may call it the Forgotten War, but in North Korea, the Korean War is known as the Victorious Fatherland Liberation War. These different names underscore the immense gulf between our different versions of history. At a museum devoted to the war, we were given a glimpse into the North Korean mindset.
The whole world unanimously denounces the United States as a starter of the Korean War.
We've just been shown a documentary film which claims that the US started the Korean War, and that is firmly what our guide, Mrs. Lee, believes. She's been telling us her reasons.
Our country was a small country, but the US big country founded many years ago and just adopt.
And Mrs. Lee describes North Korea back then as like a small child, while the U.S. was more like an adult because of its age and size. She believes it's impossible that a small child would pick a fight with an adult. She's surrounded by the spoils of war. The twisted wreckage has shot down U.S. fighter planes and piles of American guns. And she keeps saying that North Korea won the Korean War, even though it ended in an armistice, which means North and South Korea are technically still at war. Someone asks her whether there's any danger of another war between North Korea and the U.S., and the answer comes without any hesitation.
Of course, and that the U.S. is still now preparing the war, stockpiled all the nuclear bombs and nuclear weapons and just pursuing the hostile policy against our country. That is the danger.
The Korean people condemned the U.S. nuclear war plot, aimed at annihilating the entire Korean nation.
North Korean propaganda emphasizes the sense of imminent threat from the U.S., perhaps to maximize internal unity. And it's against this backdrop that North Koreans describe their nuclear weapons as a deterrent. Those were the words of our guide, Lieutenant Che, on a tour of the DMZ dividing North and South Korea. He says North Korea needs its nuclear weapons to defend peace on the Korean peninsula. Pyongyang would give them up, he says, but only on one condition.
Only if the U.S. gets rid of its nuclear weapons on the Korean Peninsula and in their own territory, then we'll get rid of our nuclear weapons.
The U.S. does not maintain nuclear weapons on the Korean Peninsula, even though the official policy is neither to confirm nor deny the presence of nuclear materials in Korea.
Pueblo, armed spy ship of the U.S. imperialists.
Another stop on our tour was the USS Pueblo, an American spy ship that was captured by North Korea in 1968. Now it sits in the Taedong River in Pyongyang, pocked with bullet holes circled in red paint. 83 American sailors were taken captive from the ship. One was killed, the others were held for 11 months. Many were tortured. When I asked guide Lim Byung-suk why the men were mistreated, she denies it outright.
No, they were not beaten. They wrote a letter to the American government saying all their daily necessities were provided.
The North Koreans are making full use of this propaganda trophy. On the wharf, a crowd of schoolchildren is being lectured by an elderly man in a uniform. He's one of the original sailors who captured the Pueblo. And schoolchildren were present at many sites we visited, ensuring North Korea's version of history is firmly inculcated in its young. Only about 300 Americans have visited North Korea so far this year. They're segregated from other tourists, even at mealtimes, and often feel they're given a hard sell on the evils of American imperialism. Two different views, from Frank Cruz of Detroit and Scott Wynn of California, who felt the relentless propaganda was a form of personal attack. First, Scott Wynn.
You evil capitalist swine pig, you screwed us over and you're continuing to screw us over. And if I had the opportunity, I would punch you right now. I mean, that's really the feeling that I got.
Maybe some people were more suspicious than others, but I liked the people very much.
The guy on the plane who I was just chatting to said that he felt like he was a demon in North Korea because people were not acknowledging him and not meeting his eyes, not talking to him. Did you have any of that sense?
No, I've been in sales most of my life, and I've been treated that way all the time, so I'm used to it. So it doesn't bother me a bit.
North Korean propaganda likes to refer to the Bush administration as bellicose, brigandish, and like a thief.
The bellicose Bush administration, however, rejected...
So it was notable that all our guides were studiously non-committal about President Obama. Wait and see was the stock reply. It might be reading too much into it to say this restraint speaks of hope and expectation, but at the very least, the absence of aggressive rhetoric must be a step forward. Louisa Lim, NPR News.